to hear is that I had some help with photography from one of the very able research assistants at Scripps, Xing Zhu. Well, this whole investigation that I'm going to talk about began with a question that Bob Guza passed around to some of his colleagues, and this is his question. Michael, suppose that you had thought experiment, a seafloor that was so rough that shoaling waves rapidly dissipated energy via bottom friction on the seafloor. Of course, it could be by scattering also. Could be a muddy bottom or a rough bottom. This may not be physical, but accept it as possible. Suppose normally incident longshore uniform waves approached a longshore uniform beach and everything's 2D. Close to shore, where there would normally be a surf zone, there is instead this dissipative bottom beach. At the shoreline, there is no wave energy left, but on the other hand, there's no breaking at the surface at all. All the energy has been absorbed at the bottom. Would you still have wave setup? And I'll explain what setup is. That's my question. What? Well, you'll see. Well, the question, Bob Guza's question arose because on the east coast of the USA, there's a broad continental shelf, duck he was thinking of particularly, and some offshore regions with a very gentle bottom gradient, the order of 10 to the minus 3, 10 to the minus 2. Also, the bottom is sandy or muddy, and you can get some sand ripples, which, with the horizontal particle motion near the bottom, they give off vortices, as we shall see. Well, this dissipates a lot of energy. Normally, most of the energy is dissipated by wave breaking at the surface. But what happens if the energy dissipation at the bottom absorbs all the energy so the waves do not break? Now, this talk will be in really two parts, experimental and theoretical. The first four items set up to explain wave setup and what happens in the bottom boundary layer outside the surf zone, then a bit on flow over sand ripples, and then some experiments done in the lab. Then from there on, it's theory, because we can't do everything in the lab on account of the very small slopes. And then a plain beach and then some analytic solutions. Well, what is the wave setup? Well, some of you may not be familiar with beach mechanics, mechanics of the surf zone, but imagine the waves coming in from right to left, a sloping plain beach, and here we have the breaker line. Outside the breaker line, normally with no dissipation, what happens is that there is a change in the mean level. The setup, it's not something that people, criminals, do in Chicago or gangsters. It's really a change in the average level at a given point. And outside the surf zone, in area one, setup is governed by two equations, really. One is the constancy of the flux, energy flux towards the shore, and secondly, the constancy of the momentum flux. And the momentum flux has two main terms. One is the radiation stress, that's the additional flux due to the waves, and the other is the hydrostatic pressure term arising from the change in mean level. So if those are balanced, you get an equation, and it gives you actually a negative setup. In other words, a set down. In zone 2, on the other hand, there is dissipation, strong dissipation, and you have a balance between hydrostatic term, again, and the momentum flux, but the you have a limitation on the energy is not conserved, but you have the amplitude is limited by the local depth H. So you have two zones to consider. Well, first of all, I'll take zone 2 first. To demonstrate the existence of the wave setup, this is a tank with waves moving up the tank in that direction, and the water line, because of the setup, extends up to here. If you put a hollow tube on the bottom here, and this mesh here is simply there to hold the tube in place, you put a little die in the top, it will rapidly flow under the pressure gradient. It will flow down the tube as far as the surface zone. It actually emerges from the tube about here and goes down to the breaker line. A very simple experiment that anybody can do in the lab. To show that it's not something happening at the top of the tube, you can put instead a tube which has a U-turn in it and is open here, and if you put dye here, it goes up to the top. It's like, acts like a siphon, then across and down, and emerges at the bottom as before and mixes at the breaker line. And you can do it without any tube at all. Just inject some dye at this point. It very quickly goes. So there's a strong undertow in the surf zone. Another way to look at it is from the side. If you have a porous beach with waves coming now from left to right, and you put a little speck of dye in here, the pressure gradient moves it, causes it to go down into the beach and then up to the surf zone. And if you do put in a number of different bits of dye, then you get this kind of a pattern there, which has a nice analytic form, as a matter of fact. And similarly, if you look at it from on top, you can do this in a real beach. If you just inject a little dye onto the surface of the beach in the surf zone, it will disappear into the beach, come up again near the breaker line. So that's the wave setup. Now, what happens to the outside? That's in zone 1. Well, Bagnold, R.A. Bagnold, in 1947, did this experiment. If you have the waves are going here from left to right, so I'll turn this over. Then now they're going from right to left, and he dropped a particle of dye onto the bottom, and as the waves went, after one wave period, the streak left by the dye was deformed like that, and after 10 wave periods, it was like this. But the incredible feature is this strong jet at the bottom. And with a little bit of theory, you can show that it really is there, according to theory, and it comes from the oscillating Stokes there. Of course, the motion on the horizontal motion on the bottom vanishes, but just outside a thin layer, you have the motion is not zero, so you have a very strong velocity gradient, and the vertical scale here is what I call delta, which is actually 2 nu over sigma. Nu is the kinematic viscosity, and sigma is the radian frequency. And the if on the other hand the waves are progressing, then see, there's an in-phase component here. Then the layer gets squeezed, and by continuity there must be a vertical component, which, although it's quite small, because of the horizontal gradient, the vertical gradient is so large, it combines to give you a component, a second-order component on the right. But strangely enough, well, here is the profile of the mass transport velocity. This is the average velocity, and the over a wave period, and this is delta here. The scale is the same thickness, 2 nu over sigma to the 1/2, and this is the mass transport velocity divided, normalized by q squared over c. Q is the amplitude of the horizontal velocity in the orbital motion, and c is the phase speed. So, this goes up to exactly limits of 5 over 4 q squared over c, and this one, this is the Lagrangian velocity, this is the Eulerian velocity, it goes up to 0.75, 3 over 4. And the strange thing is that this expression for the velocity just outside the boundary layer is independent of the viscosity. Of course, the thickness of the layer depends on the viscosity, but the magnitude of the mass transport doesn't. And forwards motion, and even if you make the viscosity a function of depth above the bottom, you still get the same answer for a progressive wave. So it's a very robust formula, and you can replace the viscosity by an eddy viscosity. Well, now a bit about the ripples. This is actually a numerical experiment where you start with sand ripples, apply a kind of vortex shedding technique where the vortices are shed as everything is stationary to start with. Then the fluid moves to the right and it's going to move to the left. As it moves to the right, you get vortices shed off, and the magnitude, the size of the little semicircles indicates the strength of the vorticity. And the fact that it's that sign is indicated by the fact that you have open to the left. And when the thing has gone through half a wave period, so 1 over pi over 2, then it starts to move the other way, and of course you get vorticity shed in of the other sign. And now the whole cloud is moving to the left, and you get vorticity of the opposite sign shed, and so you get after about pi you get this, and after three halves pi it looks like this, and then later on it gets to look like this, and you'll notice that you have at the bottom here, by this time, you have a cloud of vortices which is shed, and these ones tend to be of one sign, and these of the other. So it's like a vortex pair moving off upstream, moving vertically upwards. So the vorticity goes up into the fluid, and here the vortices have been amalgamated. And you see, you get these vortex pairs, which go up until these become close together, and then they stay more or less the same height. And then everything becomes turbulent. So what have we got? We've got a fluid, and then we have a layer with vorticity, and possibly with sand in suspension, and highly turbulent bottom layer. And how are we going to represent that? Well, we can think of it as represented by a fluid which is of slightly higher density because of the sand in it, and a large eddy viscosity. And experimentally, the idea in the experiments was to represent that by a solution of brown sugar, as we'll now see. The apparatus, the vertical scale is exaggerated here, but this is about 2 meters long, or 30 inches from here to here, and this is a plain beach which can be weighted down, and the wave maker on the right here, the waves going from right to left and being dissipated on the beach. And there's the little wave maker, and I'm going to show a video to those who want to stay, and the wave maker produces waves going up the beach, and this is just a weight to hold it down. The experiments here, first of all, this is just a repeat of Bagnell's experiment. Waves are going from right to left. A particle of dye has landed on the bottom. The motion here is only a few centimeters each way, or half a centimeter, I believe. But then you see this jet going along towards the beach. And when it gets to the foot of the beach, it doesn't stop. This is the foot of the beach here. And it goes on up the beach. In other words, the viscous forces are strong enough to carry it up against gravity. Well, we represent that by some sugar. Now we're going to put in a layer of viscous fluid at the bottom, and what we do is mix a mixture of brown sugar solution, which you can get at the grocery store, with an equal volume of water. And this is a pendulum which is allowed to swing to and fro. It's supported. This is without the water there. There's a weight here which determines the the pendulum period. And then there's a flat plate here, which is in the viscous fluid, and which determines the damping. And then the idea is to take a video of this and just read off the deflection from a horizontal scale there. That gives you the rate of damping. It's poised on a knife edge, and if you do it in the air, this now is the amplitude of the swing of each pendulum against the number, the number of the swing starting from one, and in the air you get practically no damping, quite negligible. In water you get damping given by this curve. In sugar solution you get that. The slope of this is about four times the slope of that, and as it goes as the square root of the viscosity, you infer that the viscosity of the solution is about 16 times that of water. Now, if you put the sugar solution in the tank, this shows there's some diffusion, but it lasts long enough so that you can do an experiment. Then this is the boundary between the sugar and the water, and it's about there. When you set it going, the sugar solution, which of course is an outer boundary layer here, and that goes up the beach as far as the breaker zone, and at that point it doesn't get any further. It meets the undertow coming down from the surf zone, and the fluid rises and gets diffused by the turbulence. There is another picture of it happening, and you can vary the position here by, if you reduce the amplitude of the waves, keeping the period constant, because they break further inshore, and so the fluid at the bottom goes further towards the beach. And you can imagine that in the limit, it could actually reach the beach. Well, does it? Well, that's the question, which can't really be decided in a tank like this, because you can't get a slope of 10 to the minus 2 or 10 to the minus 3 within a lab. So we go to some theory, and I'm not going to go through all this in detail, but you need to know the notation. Q is the amplitude of the horizontal motion here. A is the vertical displacement, amplitude of the vertical displacement, half the wave height. Sigma is the radian frequency. K is the wave number. H is the local depth. And this is just the solution for uniform depth. It's going to be a very gentle slope. And I'm going to use the same delta for 2 nu over sigma to the half. Now, the boundary at the bottom is really very small compared to the height and the depth. So we have K delta small to about 1 and delta over H also small to 1. And then we can use the dispersion relation sigma squared equals GK tans KH. And if you work out the energy in the boundary layer, it turns out to be very small, as you might expect, because it's so thin compared to the total wave energy, which is a half rho GA squared. That's the energy per horizontal distance. The flux of the energy, likewise, is given to a good order by F is E times C sub G, the group velocity, and the equation you want to deal with for energy flux is the dF by dx. That's the rate of change of flux with distance is minus d, where d is the dissipation. Well, you calculate the dissipation, it turns out to be a quarter rho sigma q squared delta. The important thing is delta here, which contains the viscosity, which is relatively small. So delta, so this thing is small, but and we can also express it where in this way, so you have a delta over H, which is small. So this dissipation is small. On the other hand, we're going over long distances. So the energy flux equation boils down to this. D by dx, and this is energy times group velocity, more or less, equals minus D. Then we want an equation from the momentum flux. We're thinking about the zone 1 moment. The energy flux equation is this one, the radiation stress term, hydrostatic term from the setup, and tau B is the mean stress on the bottom. Now, this is the SXX term, and the mean stress on the bottom you get by taking the mass transport velocity, taking the derivative with respect to z, so this is du sub v by dz, and it turns out to be from the on the bottom, Q squared over 2CD, 2C delta. And so the bottom stress turns out to be this, and it boils down to actually the way phase velocity, well, the dissipation is the phase velocity times the bottom stress. Well, actually, that's not an unexpected result, but it's a very useful result because we have two equations, you see, one with D on the right-hand side and the other with D over C on the right-hand side. So the obvious thing is to eliminate D by multiplying this one by C and subtracting. And when we do that, what we get is this equation, which is good even with dissipation. Now, the extraordinary thing about that equation is that in this equation, of course, H is a function of X, and K is also a function of X, and A squared, A, the amplitude, all these things are functions of X. But we can integrate that exactly. It has an exact integral. I'm not going to go through the details of the proof. It's a couple of pages, but you can show that it has an exact integral. And the it boils down to this, that the mean level, zeta bar, the way we set up, is minus 1/2 a squared k over sine 2kh. And that, in fact, and this is independent of the viscosity of the bottom friction, but it's true also with bottom friction. So you have a nice simple integral even with dissipation. And that's not very common. Zeta bar in shallow water where kh is small, of course sine 2kh reduces just to 2kh, and you get zeta bar is minus a squared over 4h. And that's the result that was derived previously in a paper by Bob Stewart and myself. Now, of course, this result, in a way, it answers the question, because the hypothesis about the way it's set up, because the hypothesis is that the amplitude goes to zero, the wave height goes to zero at the coast, and we know that the wave height divided by the depth can't be greater than one, so there's an upper bound to a over h, so a squared over h must go to zero. So the wave set up at the coast goes to zero. That answers the question. But the if you want details, it is possible to put in to study a particular case when how much time? It is possible to specialize to the case of a sloping plain beach and a bottom boundary layer of uniform depth, and in that case you can obtain an exact solution which I won't describe in detail. If the bottom slope is constant, you can replace the wave depth by minus s, bottom slope times x, the distance from the shoreline, and the d by dx is minus s d by dh, and you get this equation, and it turns out that this thing, d by dh, a squared h, the half is here, c is a combination of all the other constants that come in, this thing can be integrated exactly. And the variable that you need to introduce is wait a minute. Where's it got to? Oh. I'll just state it. The variable you need to introduce is 1 over h to the 1 half. And then it all goes, and you get a solution which goes like, of course, h goes to infinity as the depth goes to 0, and then you get a solution proportional to the variable xi is 1 over h to the half, and you get something like xi to the fourth e to the minus xi, which goes to 0 as xi goes to infinity. So you, in that way, you can get a solution. And if you put in some particular numbers, for example, this is supposed to represent waves from the North Atlantic impinging the East Coast. You put in waves a period 10 seconds, the initial depth, if you took that as 5 meters, and of course it's sometimes much larger than that, the thickness of the bottom left is 5 centimeters, and then you find that you're interested in the waves not breaking. So you want some number for the steepness of the waves. Well, that's what this solution gives you. Wave steepness is less than the initial wave steepness, which is, of course, of order less than a half, then you come out with a bound on S of a surface slope. And in order to make things, the waves not break, you have to have initial slope of order 0.0024. This is quite gentle. And the slopes in that area are, in fact, of that order. So that gives you some check. Well, conclusions then. When the beach slope S is small, and the wave energy is all dissipated at the seabed, there is an exact integral relating zeta bar, the wave set up, the local depth h, and the wave amplitude a. Then both zeta bar and a can tend to zero at the shoreline without breaking, in that case, the wave setup is zero. If the dominant wave period is 10 seconds, the initial depth is 5 meters, it's sufficient that S is less than of order 10 to the minus 3. Thank you. Just what you like.
I might do in 2 minutes.
Yes. All right. Could we show the video? Wait a minute. Where's it got to? Can you do a fast forward to when I say stop? Oh, you've got the one there. We're getting something just then. Oh, can that be focused? That showed some waves. I'm afraid it's not very clear, but this shows some waves approaching the beach and being dissipated on the beach, and this is some junk within the fluid. It just shows the fluid is the magnitude of the motion there, and it never gets Well, it gets to the breaker line, and then it gets turbulent. Here we go. And now this is a case where some dye was dropped on the bed here. This is just plain one layer fluid, and you'll see that the mass transport on the bottom, this is jet going forward quite rapidly towards the toe of the bottom of the beach here. And you have to watch what happens when it gets to the foot of the beach, just about this point here. Well, there it goes. And there's a little cloud, and then you see it goes on up the beach. In other words, the viscous forces are carrying it up the beach. And there's an outer boundary layer, actually, which is carrying some more fluid that way. Now, the next shot shows actually some... oh, dear. Can we have the light out, please? Thank you. Not too clear, but this is one showing waves approaching the beach and some fluid, I think. I'm afraid it's very hard to see. Oh, yes. Well, now at this point, this is just to show how the pendulum is operated. It's just taken to one side and released, and this shows you the kind of damping that you observe in the fluid. Now the next slide, the next sequence should show you the this viscous sugar solution in the wave tank. Can you just see the beach here? I'm afraid it's awfully indistinct. But what is happening is that the waves have then started. And the fluid is, as you were, mounting the beach. You can see it coming further and further up. And the break point is about here. And that's just about as far as it gets. And then it goes up and is dissipated. And that's the end. Thank you.